Let us pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Dwell among us. May we be, or may I be, out of your way. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be truly acceptable in your sight. He who is a rock and a redeemer. Amen. I'm going to be very straightforward, church. I'm going to ask this very important question for us. What kind of life you are living today? What kind of life are we living today? If that question is asked, perhaps most of us will answer, well, Pastor, I'm having a good life. I'm having a good life. So what does good life mean? Does it mean that we have a good family, a good job? Does it mean that we are just good to our neighbors? We're keeping ourselves out of trouble. We only commit kind of little sins in life. And that's it? Is this the kind of life that we are supposed to live today? Or there is more to that? Or perhaps maybe we want to live a life that is more fulfilling, more purposeful, that has meaning at all. A life that has peace, love, and hope, and joy, even in the midst of the trials, adversities, and tribulations of life. But where can we find that kind of life? I personally believe that the only place to find that kind of life is in the life that is in Jesus. Can we hear amen, church? Amen. When we accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and our Savior, we are no longer the same person. We are a new creation. In fact, the Bible says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old, all the old nature has passed away. We see everything has become what? New. This means our life, this life that was surrendered to Christ is no longer on our own. Christ now lives in this very life that we have. Everything that we have, our careers, our families, our priorities, our checkbooks, our work, our possessions, all belongs now to Him. God establishes a relationship with us and through us so close that we become one with Him. He's in us and we are with Him. In fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I love this text. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then perhaps maybe the next question, so we're going to be asking, well, Pastor, how is that possible that Christ lives in me? How can that be? Well, the Bible will answer that question. It is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Each one of us, we are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is not Pastor Edgar saying, it's the Bible saying to us. You are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is there, dwelling in you. The Spirit of Christ is actively at work in our beings, in our physical bodies, in our souls, from head to toe. It is the Spirit that makes us holy. It is the Spirit that equips us the gifts for ministry and trust out the people of God in every sphere of life. It is the Spirit that intercedes for us. It is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. That's why Romans chapter 8 was placed here, because you can see in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit is the most prominent subject of all the chapters in the book of Romans, and in fact, the whole Bible. For this chapter is by far the most concentrated teaching of the Holy Spirit in any book. Just think about Romans chapter 8. The term Spirit occurs at least 18 times. Can you imagine that? Just in that one chapter alone, 18 times the Spirit was mentioned. To understand what Paul is talking here, I think we have to go back to Romans chapter 7. How many of you are familiar with Romans 7? If you go back to Romans 7, you will see a completely different understanding, a different perspective of how Paul lived his life, the old Paul, or what you call the old soul, wherein he gave us a transparent view of what was his life when he was still out of control life. Have we been there, church? We live out control life? I've seen some nodding. That is when our lives were still apart from the work of the Spirit. Here in Romans 7, he described our lives before we submit to the Spirit's control. It's about the power struggle that we all have in that unsurrendered way of life before we are truly led by the Spirit. I remember my old life. You won't even recognize me. My sister can attest to that. You know, every time there's some life-changing situations in my life, I always cannot control my attitudes or my behaviors, and sometimes I get upset. Can't control my anger. Have you been there? That's my old nature, and sometimes I say bad words that are not pleasing in God's sight. See, Romans 7, Paul is bringing us into this reality check that we all have this old nature. He described this old nature that is within us. It's part of our hearts that has not been completely renewed and restored yet. That even though we already have claimed ourselves to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, we know that sin no longer reigns dominant. It's not the dominating force now. But still, sin still remains. There is still with us this kind of sinful nature that is part of us, that is slowly dying as we are being sanctified and being renewed in the love of our God, in our relationship with Jesus, and in the work of the Spirit. But as long as we are a follower of Christ, we will never be completely free from the pull of the sin that is inside us. As long as we are living in these mortal bodies, we are still going to be wrestling with this old nature, with the sin that is hovering us and trying to control us. But hear me out, church. The good news on this is that Romans 7 is not the end of the story. Can we hear amen, church? It was not the end of the story for Paul. It was not the end of the story for us. Because Romans 7 comes after Romans 7 is Romans 8, which is the rest of the story. The text that we have just read. What Paul is saying here is that you don't need to live a life that is fully out of control, devoid of meaning and purpose. There's a way. There's a better way. It's not just a good life. There is a better way to live a life full of meaning and full of purpose. Listen again to verses 9 to 11 of Romans 8. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Say that with me, church. You are in the Spirit. Say that to your neighbor. You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, this is Paul telling us now, if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Church, that's all about what Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit changes everything. Do we believe on that? Do we claim that? It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a life with purpose and meaning. It is the Spirit that empowers us to love in a way that Christ loved one another. It is the Spirit that convicts you whenever you fail to love as you would others have loved you. It is the Spirit that fills us with this supernatural love that overflows in all areas of our lives, whether it's relationship, whether it's attitudes or behaviors, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we treat our neighbors, the way we prioritize our schedule, the way we respond in circumstances of life. We begin to be invaded and be possessed by that Spirit. That Spirit pours out His love into our hearts during difficult times so we are motivated to love one another. It is the same Spirit that urges us on whenever we are feeling like giving up. It is the Spirit that cheers us up whenever we are feeling like our efforts are not worth the struggle. Church, it is the Spirit who worked in and through Christ during His life on earth, now works in and through you. Just as the Spirit enabled Christ to bring glory to His Father, so now that same Spirit enables us to glorify both the Son and the Father. Amen? In other words, a true understanding of this work of the Spirit that is dwelling in us begins and ends with the declaration of our understanding of a God who works through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that convicts us of our sin. Listen again to what the Bible says. When Jesus said, and when He comes, come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That same Holy Spirit gives us new life. That same Holy Spirit is the one who indwells in us. That same Holy Spirit produces the gift and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, what else? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the list goes on. It is the Spirit that gives us the power to serve Christ. Church, it's all about living in the Spirit of God. So my question for us again this morning, are we living, or what kind of life are we living today? Many of us have accepted Jesus today as their personal Lord and our Savior. I remember my moments when I gave my life for Christ, when I was a young person, back in the Philippines. When I came during the Christmas camp, found myself saying, you know, there's a void that only the Spirit can fill me. I realized that. But over the years, we're still wrestling and battling with the spiritual forces that is trying to pull us from becoming the children of God. This, that kind of old nature that's still rearing its ugly head. I invite us this morning that in the name of Jesus, we need first to rebuke the enemy. Amen? Rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and rebuke all the strongholds that are keeping us from becoming what God wants us to be. Ask God to fill us so that we can be led by the Spirit. Practice the spiritual discipline of life in prayer, reading God's Word, sacramental practices of communion, coming to worship and being part of a church. Take in as much as we can in being in God's presence. And finally, live a surrendered life and be led by the Spirit. And once we live a life in spirit, we can be like Paul, that we no longer living on our own. We can say, Lord, I trust everything to you. Let it be you that will be in control of my life in every step of the way. It begins now. It begins today. Are we ready, church? Are we ready to respond? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, Amen.